This is the Governance Committee of the Pacifica National Board. I'm George Ryder, the chair. Paul, would you take the role, please?
Okay. Yeberiaco. Leslie Bethune. Christopher Condon.
Here.
Ryan Edwards Tiekert. Sharna Gluck. Roger Kilgour. Lizette King.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. John Casey O'Brien.
Present.
George Ryder.
Here.
Tracy Rosenberg. Joseph Wanzala.
Here.
Ted Weisgel.
Here.
Okay, that's a total of seven.
Great. I'd like to make the first item setting the time for this meeting. My suggestion is 10:15 Eastern Time. Any objection to that?
If need be.
if need be. We might, in fact, not need it. Okay, hearing no objection, then.
Wesley Bethune.
Oh, Wesley, welcome.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is the revised agenda, which I sent around a little bit before the meeting, but I would like to clear this up, is to set a regular monthly meeting date. The suggestion has been made that we meet on the third Thursday of the month. Apparently, R. Paul, correct me on this if I'm wrong, but this has apparently been the traditional, over some past years, time for the meeting of the Governance Committee. Is that correct?
Right. For a number of years, it's been third Thursday, yeah.
Okay. Is there any objection to a regular monthly meeting on the third Thursday of the month?
I have to look at my calendar before I can judge that. Would that be the 21st of this month?
No, not this month. This is the first meeting would be in June.
Okay, just a moment. So that's June the 18th, correct?
Yes, it's June the 18th.
Actually, that turns into a conflict for me. Oh, my. Well, I'm just saying, it's a conflict for me. We'll see.
Well, we're not. Some of us may not be able to make particular meetings, but is there any objection to that? Do people have regular or something else at that time that they'll never be able to make a meeting? Okay. Hearing nothing like that, I'll ask again. Is there any objection that we make the regular monthly meeting on the third Thursday, and the first one would be actually in June? Great. Okay. So that's I'll send out an announcement to that effect, and we'll schedule it on the KPFBX agenda. The next item is a chair's report. I wanted to let you all know, in case you didn't, what was the...
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
We actually haven't approved the agenda yet. We should probably...
This is true. We should approve the agenda, and we should put something in there. I left it out for approving minutes. Let's make that first, I think. Any objection to that being before the chair's report and the whistleblower policy?
Okay. George, point of information, please. This is Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Is approval of the minutes required in committees?
You know, I don't know, actually. If we've got them, I suppose we ought to approve them.
Yeah, but... George, my only concern is there's two sets of minutes from the previous governance committee that I wouldn't feel comfortable voting on.
No, we don't have to vote on those.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Chair?
Yeah?
One, yes, the committees vote to approve minutes. And two, for people who don't know whether the minutes have anything to do with anything, they just don't have to vote at all. And people who've been here for them can vote one way or another on those minutes.
Thank you for the clarification.
Okay. So we'll put
George,
them all on then, and I presume there's some overlap with the previous committee.
George?
Yes?
Actually, committees don't produce minutes at all. They produce reports, and I don't want to get into the difference. Well, I will. The difference is that minutes are what you said or what you did.
Right.
Whereas minutes are also what you said and some of the background so that the National Board has some idea of what our thinking was. But it's really a report of the chair, and if somebody wants to provide a minority report. Well, that gets into even more details. But it's a report, not minutes.
Okay.
George?
Paul?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'd like to hear some citation of that, because we've been doing minutes for the past 5 years.
Just go to Robert's Rules of Order and committees,
and
committee reports.
And you're saying that somewhere in Robert, you cite this?
I will be looking this up, gentlemen. Maybe
all
not
right.
Tonight, but we will to get this straightened out.
This is Chris Condon.
Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a set of online commentaries about Robert's Rules produced by the California Parliamentary Association that I think, Sean, you forwarded over to me, and I think that it clearly states there that minutes are not required by committees. I mean, if we want minutes, there's nothing that prevents us from doing it, of course, but I think there is some sense to the point that was just made about our written product being not minutes per se, but reports to the PNB?
Well, there can be both, I think. In fact, what we've been doing is that I've been making a report to the PNB where I motivate the motions that we're forwarding to them and say something about what the argument was. It's actually not written, it's verbal, but we could have the minutes for our own record.
Could I make a motion to
whatever we want to do, but my only point is that we're not mandated to go through the process of creating minutes and then formally approving the minutes as you would in a full committee. So it's up to us if we want to do it. The whole process involves, of course, the circulation of the minutes. And, you know, it's all getting to be more clerical work, and I'm just not sure how much we want to actually undertake.
Hey, George, this is Sean. Can I make a motion that we postpone this until we look into this, and next month we will decide what the policy is, if we need a special rule or anything like that, and then we will approve, if necessary, all minutes.
Is there a second? You don't need a second in committee. Is there an objection to that? Okay. Hearing no objection, we'll deal with the minutes at the regular meeting in June. They are all posted, and our poll has done a fine job of getting them together, and they're on the PACGov site in the files list.
Thank you. I want you to know with that motion, I wasn't taking a side there. I just want to give everybody time to check it out.
Okay, do we notice?
George, this is Chris Condon. I don't want my comments to be misconstrued as opposing this in any way. I haven't got really an opinion on it one way or the other. It's just a question of, are we mandated to do it?
I got it. Okay. So we're still on approving the agenda. The first item on the agenda is I was going to give a chair's report for 3 minutes on what's happened with the proposals we've sent forth, the motions we've sent forth to the PNB. And I think I can do that in 3 minutes. Is there any objection to that being on the agenda?
Did we approve the agenda already?
No, that's what we're doing right now.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood. Thank you, George.
The question is the chair going to be allowed to speak to us for 3 minutes?
Right.
If it's on the agenda and we approve, let's approve the agenda. If it's on the agenda, let's let them do it.
Well, let me say, you have the agenda in front of you, or everybody but Ted does. Is there any objection to, we have to set times, actually. There are things, in any case, that haven't been done yet. The first item after my speaking would be the whistleblower policy. I would suggest 15 minutes for that.
I have a question on that.
Yes.
That says that this is being, what I have is an early agenda, and it says whistleblower policy, Tracy, and that's all. So without Tracy being on the call, how can we do that?
She has forwarded a motion.
She has forwarded a motion, and if the chair desires, and I've already talked to Tracy about this, I worked with her on this, I'm happy to motivate it. If, however, you feel that it's incumbent upon Tracy to motivate her motion, I will not object to that.
I don't. I feel like we should deal with this tonight.
All right.
Well, a point of information, George, this is Chris Condon.
Yes.
Whether Tracy is here or not, it's irrelevant. If Sean wants to, he can submit Tracy's motion as his own.
He can. He was just asking my opinion on it, and that's my opinion, that he ought to do it.
And extending professional courtesy to Ms. Rosenberg.
Yes. Yes. The other items on the agenda, is there any changes to that, to the items on the agenda? Would you like to have something?
This is Joe.
Joe, yes.
And it's not imperative that we discuss it, but I guess, I mean, this may be in part, George may touch on this, or may not, on his report from the TMD, but as you guys may be aware, that I think there's a motion, well, maybe it's from last year. Anyway, there's a motion about the Community Advisory Board that you know, originally I think, well, it did come out of the Governance Committee, but it's a governance issue. And the PNB did pass a motion, you know, saying that the CPB funds would not be distributed to stations unless they have cabs. As some of you know, there's been a chronic problem around the network with cabs being properly formed and so forth. And I do have a motion. So that motion was passed. I have a revised motion, which I've sent to you, which adds a few more elements to the cab motion, because I think one of the problems with cabs is that people, especially new people that put into the cabs, really have no idea what to do. And I think it's
Mr. Chair, excuse me, a point of information, Joe?
Yeah.
Couldn't we just vote to include your motion on the agenda?
Thanks for that.
That's what Joe is suggesting, I think.
The reason why I'm talking about it so much is just to give some context, and also to, I know there's several items on the agenda. It's on the PNB agenda. It's going to go forward, but I would like the Governance Committee to discuss it, if that's, you know, just get some input if there's any ideas.
Okay, may I move for Joe's motion to be placed on the agenda in the position determined by the chair?
Second.
And I guess that's where I was getting to. I mean, I don't want to step on anybody's toes in terms of order of the agenda, but if it can be placed on the agenda such that we get to it today, that would be great. I mean, in other words, it may go forward anyway, but it might be useful to be able to say that, you know, the government.
Well, let me put it on the agenda as the latest item on, which would be at the bottom. And if people want to move to put it forward to change the time, then please do so.
George, maybe this can help clarify things. First of all, is Grace Aaron on the call?
I don't think so.
Okay, because I see on number two you've got Grace Aaron and Sherna Gluck. Neither of them are going to be here to take on the issue of definition of who is and who is not a unpaid staff member. Should we postpone that to the next meeting? Because I don't think either of those ladies are going to join us tonight.
I think that's an excellent suggestion. I'd like to second that. This is Chris Condon.
Okay, so is there any objection to that?
Well, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Since we're setting the agenda, there's nothing to postpone at this point. So motion would be simply to strike.
Strike. Okay. Well, you know what? I don't want them to hear later that I struck it off the agenda.
We'll just move it to the bottom of the agenda.
All right. Because I don't. You know, I understand what you're saying, and you're absolutely right, Mr. Paul. But I don't want them to think that I'm just trying to get rid of it. That's why I use the word postpone.
Right. Moving it to the bottom of the agenda is the right thing to do.
Okay. So no objection. We'll move that item to the bottom of the agenda.
Two items, right?
Well, now Joe's not at the bottom of the agenda.
No, but you're moving two items to the bottom of the agenda. Wasn't it something from Grace and something from Sherna?
No, they're the same thing. They were both sponsoring the same motion.
Oh.
It was item two, I believe.
Right.
You know what? And Joe, Mr. Chair, excuse me. Number three, the PNB shall revive the code of conduct at Sherna again. Chris is right.
For sure. I think we should move that to the bottom also.
There you go. Joe, we're moving.
Can I suggest that we move
it? Any objection to that?
No objection, George. But it seems to me that what we're doing is we're moving these things in order down, and we'll put them on the agenda for next. We'll postpone them to our next meeting.
That's exactly correct. unless we happen to get to them. But if we do get to them, we'll adjourn.
Right.
Okay. Other changes.
Okay. Let's see. Chris Condon. That's ready to go.
I'll yield my position to Joe.
If I can beg your indulgence, if we can get to the cab motion, if it can be put higher in the agenda, that would be great. I mean, I think it's worth discussing. We may not change it or anything, but
I'll take that as a request to put the cab motion after the whistleblower policy.
Yeah.
Is there any objection to doing that? Okay. Hearing none, the first item on the agenda will be the whistleblower policy. How much time would you suggest for the cab?
I believe that's your discretion. I mean, I don't know that. Get 10 minutes, and you can add.
Well, let's give it 10 minutes then. As far as the whistleblower policy, let me give that 10 minutes too. I said
that's
this
fine.
Thing, but
Mr. Chair,
any objection to that?
A point of information, I believe. Is there anything that Joe has that he would like to circulate to us in writing now?
I have.
No, I assume he does.
I emailed the draft motion before the PNB to the listserv just 10 minutes ago.
Thank you, Joe. We'll look at it when we get there. Thank you.
Well, not everybody's on the PNB listserv.
Oh, that's right. He said PNB.
Yeah, I don't have it.
Sorry.
I'll forward it.
I meant the governance committee. I'm sorry. I meant the governance.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
I sent it to Pat Gov.
Okay, fine.
What about the motion that I put forth regarding quorums?
Where'd you like to put that?
Your discretion.
Let's put it after Chris Condon's motions. They've been on there for a while. I think we should get to them. And it's not urgent, but it's certainly worth considering. If we get to it, we get to it.
What, Mr. Chair?
My suggestion is to put Ted's motion to essentially abolish quorums on PNB and LSB committees, to put that after Chris Condon's motions.
Mr. Chair, on the Condon motions, what's the time on that?
Let's say 10 minutes apiece. But all right, let's say 10 minutes.
I won't need that much, but if other people want to, that's okay.
What would you suggest, Chris?
For me?
Yes.
I think the motions are pretty self-explanatory. I'll motivate them in a minute each.
Well, you need some time for discussion. So
yeah, the time for discussion.
That's just the time I need.
Okay, so let's say 10 minutes apiece.
Yeah.
Okay, any other changes or times that I haven't noticed? Okay. In that case, is there any objection to approving the agenda as amended? Okay, good. Hearing none, the chair's report is as follows. We had one motion which was the motion to allow commentary from the floor to be entered into the record of the meeting. That was discussed for about 25 minutes. People got sick of it. And it was tabled. My fault, really, because I had never really intended that we be finally approved there. I should have made it clearer that it was to be approved in principle. Part of the problem was nobody was quite sure what the procedure would be for doing that. In any case, it's tabled and is effectively off the agenda. There were three motions that were put forth at the last in-person meeting. We actually had five. I chose to not forward two of them because of time limitations. The first one was there was a recall petition from KPFA, and we recommended that the LSB facilitate that happening. It was changed on the floor so that the IED would recommend that the National Election Supervisor or an election supervisor make it happen by June 30th, and that was approved. There was another motion to which had to do with the question of the 30-day the staff list, and that it requested that the 30-day that it be checked that people are actually putting in 30 days of volunteer time, 30 hours of volunteer time, sorry, and that the collective, the programmers that are in collectives, that they be monitored, essentially, to see that there's that really that all the time allotted for those folks is actually being used. And that was passed. There was another motion that, and I'm sorry, but I can't tell you what the numbers are right now, except for this last one, which was the motion that Ted put forth to ask that the general managers and program directors report back on how cooperative relationships with the LSB were being established for the creation of programming. That was modified on the floor to include a report back from both the LSB and the GMs and PDs, so both sides of that equation, and that was actually passed unanimously. So that's it. That's my report.
Mr. Chair, point of information.
Yes.
Do we have a timekeeper? How solid are we being on keeping time?
Oh, yes, we need a timekeeper.
I would be happy. I got my little computer stopwatch going here.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you, Sean.
No problem.
May I ask a question?
Certainly.
On that last item, is there any timetable? We kind of addressed that here, but we didn't have a definitive timetable. And was there any reaction from any of the general manager, or I guess there was only one general manager present at the meeting?
There was no reaction, and there was no timetable, which was unfortunate. as I recall, there was no timetable. Let me bring those up, just to take me a minute.
I think, people don't know that it can report in any substantively on any reaction, but the issue of the lack of timetable did occur to me and I'm sure a few other people during the meeting. But I think that because of the way these meetings go with time and so forth, to try to amend it would have never gotten, would have impacted the rest of the agenda in terms of time. What I would suggest is that soon, maybe, I don't know if you have time at the end of this meeting or at our next meeting, we address that. And maybe, I don't know if we could put forth some kind of motion, a secondary motion of some kind, suggesting a timeline, because without a timeline, it's not.
Yeah, I agree. It becomes a wishful thinking. Okay, Ted, would you put suggest a timeline for that, and we'll put it on the motion. Put on the next agenda item. We'll put it on the next agenda as an agenda item for approval by the governors and forwarding to the PNB.
Why don't I just say it right now?
Well, because we have to act on it. We've already approved the agenda. That's why.
Okay.
Let's see.
As a point of order,
yes.
If for some reason we get through the items on our agenda, can an item be introduced if you've cleared the agenda within the time frame of the meeting, or does it have to be listed?
If there's no objection and a vote against it, I've never seen anything. Do you know, Ted?
Yeah, you're right. We can add stuff.
So I think maybe we can try to do it at the end of this meeting if we have time.
Yeah,
okay, let's get to work.
Okay, the next item. Are there any other questions about that? About what happened at the PNB? The other two motions, which were to recommend that the PNB rescind the motion that eliminates excused absences on standing committees, will actually become moot if we pass Ted's resolution, or if the PNB passes Ted's resolution. And the final one was that LSB chairs will be responsible for getting the names and contact information of everyone on the PNB committees to their to the PNB within 2 days of the conclusion of the January PNB meeting. I'll bring those forth at the next teleconference meeting. Okay, so let's bring up the whistleblower policy. Just background on this, There was a policy that came out of the audit committee. There were objections to it. We forwarded it to...
Chair, one moment. Do you want me to start the... Should I start the clock now?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
There were objections to it because it looked as though we... you didn't have to read it that way, but it certainly had the appearance of requiring that the that people report to report internally any whistleblower complaints that they had, and there was procedures for handling them internally. Ricardo D'Onda said that that really wasn't going to fly. We shouldn't do that. Tracy then took it upon herself to try to rewrite it in such a way that it would fly, but leave in some encouragement for doing that, and I participated in that. The final version of that will now be introduced by Sean.
Okay, and first of all, I want to apologize on behalf of Tracy. She wanted to be here and motivate this herself, but a dear friend of hers, I think her best friend for 25 years, was in a car accident tonight, so she can't be here. And this is a very, very simple and to-the-point motion that takes care of most of the concerns of people on the audit committee about the retaliation only if you sign off on us, and also complies with California state law. It reads as follows. Be it resolved that the Pacifica Foundation's ethics policy dated October 2005 be distributed to each employee, board member, and volunteer unpaid staff with a sign-off form stating the party has read and understands the policy. The policy covers the reporting of ethics violation, and in combination with the California State Whistleblowers Act, constitutes the whistleblower policy of the Pacifica Foundation. That is the full extent of the policy, and yes, it does. It takes care of all of my concerns, and I won't dare speak for our general counsel, but from what I have received from him, which I will now read, I think a lot of his concerns are also taken care of. He wrote, our whistleblower policy should be strictly what the law provides for in the host state, no more, no less. Our only involvement in this regard, our policy should be limited to notifying our staff that it exists, making the state law available to them, and agreeing that our policy consists of strictly complying with the law. I would be very wary even of a policy that merely advises potential whistleblowers that they may disclose violations of law internally, as it could be misconstrued to our wanting to be tipped off before the policy was called in. For example,
point of order here.
I'm motivating my argument. Now, just let me,
Seconded it?
It doesn't need a second.
No, it doesn't need a second in committee.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay,
sorry,
So let me just finish with the last sentence of our lawyer, and then I just want to read you very shortly from our ethics policy on reporting ethics violation. I think it all speaks for itself, and then like we can go to debate. Let's see here. I would be very wary even of a policy that merely advises potential whistleblowers that they may disclose violations of law internally, as it could be misconstrued as our wanting to be tipped off before the police were called in. For example, or wanting a chance to dissuade an employee from going to the police to report illegal conduct, okay? That's his opinion of the policy the proposed policy that came out of the audit committee. The reason that I maintained throughout this whole time we don't need a separate whistleblower's policy is that if you turn to our ethics policy on the very last page, and by the way, the ethics policy is 4 pages long, it wouldn't be any problem for any employee to read the whole thing, but the last clause says, okay, reporting ethics violations. If you have questions or concerns about compliance with the subjects described in this policy, or are unsure about what is the right thing to do, we strongly encourage you first to talk with a supervisor, another Pacifica Foundation leader, or the Human Resources Department. Here's the most important clause in this. Reporting of ethics violations will be treated as confidential information and can be communicated anonymously, which is our greatest protection against somebody feeling that they were retaliated against, whether it was real retaliation or just perceived retaliation, which if they won under California law could cost us $10,000 per violation. So anyways, folks, that's the motion. It takes care of many of our concerns, and I personally believe gives us plenty of cover when it comes to having a real whistleblower policy that does not in any way inhibit or weaken workers' rights or protections. Thank you.
Okay. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Yeah. Harpo?
Could I just ask that people ID themselves before they talk, because I'm not knowing who's talking on some of this. It would help to know. So I know Sean.
Okay, that was Sean. Okay.
Sorry, Harpo.
Thank you.
This is Ted. I hope we can vote and move on.
If there's no objection is there any objection to approving Sean's motion as our whistleblower policy? Hearing none, it's approved. We move on to the cab policy. Joe, I don't actually have it in front of me. When did you send it?
I got it. Chris Condon. Just now.
Would someone forward it to me?
Yeah, George, I'll do that.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't have internet connectivity.
Well, I believe it's long, but would you, Joe, would you motivate it and say enough about it so we get the sense of it, even if you don't have to read it all? Joe, are you there?
Yes, even in its shortened form, it's still a little lengthy. But the essence of it what the motion does, or what it tries to do, is lay out some clear guidelines for the actual formation of the Community Advisory Board. Hello?
Yes.
There was some noise. Because the CPB doesn't actually lay anything out in terms of how CABs are formed, and they do that because they want to leave enough. You know, they don't want to get that involved in how stations form their CABs. Looking around community stations do it differently, but I think the general pattern is that stations that don't have elected boards. It's generally done in a democratic fashion, where the board of directors of the station, and usually most stations are just a single station with a board of directors, unlike ours, you know, which has another layer of directors, elect or are directly involved in doing that. Historically, in Pacifica, at least. Under the new bylaws, there's been no clear pattern, and it's been difficult to track what's been happening with the CABs. I think it would be useful to have a standard procedure, and follow the best practices of how it's done in community stations around the country, which is the board elects the CAB. You know, people are nominated from the community. I think KPFD has been doing this already for some time in some form. Because one of the controversies, in my mind it wasn't a controversy, but I think there's been some people who would not like CABs to be done, at least in my opinion, or at least by the way they voted, don't like the idea of democratic CABs, and argued that, because there is a provision that separates, that says that the CABs should remain separate from the LSBs, but so people have tried to construe that to say, well, the LSBs should have nothing to do with appointing them. But, you know, that's not that. Obviously, the LSBs can appoint the CABs and the CABs can still remain independent. So what it does, the main thing it does, because right now the motion we passed last year just says you must have show proof of CABs, but it still doesn't say how they're formed. And I think that to optimize real broad representation from the community, I think it's better if the CAB is appointed, or, you know, people can nominate themselves from the community. But right now, for the most part, around the network, they just, you know, appointed by the general managers and sort of thing, or people who are, you know, happen to be close to general manager get their say. But I think it needs to be more democratic. And lastly, it's too bad that after the new bylaws were formed, people kind of discarded the community advisory boards like an old shoe. But, you know, it's really the CAB, the local advisory boards were community advisory boards, and they played a big role in getting us where we are today, or at least where we're trying to get. where we are is not the ideal place. If people don't have it, I'd be happy to. It's not that long, but maybe if before the vote, people who don't have it in front of them need it to be read, it can probably be read fairly quickly. So I'll leave it at that. And one other thing I'll add: right now, the motion was revised a little bit. It's been pending before the PNB for some time in various forms. The question, the question I put to you is whether it'd be useful to just have the motion as it is passed by the PNB, or whether it would be useful for the LSBs to see it before it's passed by the PNB and to give some input. And that's what the motion asks for now. The first sentence says, you know, that this language will go to the LSBs. They can see what's being proposed, kick back some feedback to the PNB in some form, and then it'd be passed. I mean, so I'm open to that as well. I think that there might be something useful there. I mean, I guess this committee is supposed to serve that purpose, but, you know, there might be more buy-in perhaps if people have an inkling of it coming down the pike. So I'll leave it at that.
Any comment?
I would like to speak to this.
I heard Arpaul. Did you want to speak? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, Arpaul and then Ted.
And George, Chris Condon.
Arpaul, Ted, and Chris.
Okay. I think in the first part here, where in the first paragraph it says, to the PNB by June 30th, 2008, in the form of amendments, revisions, or critiques, I think you need to make that proposed amendments, because the LSBs can't amend anything for the PNB.
Got it.
Now, in the penultimate paragraph, I think you just have a typo here. It says, each new member shall be appointed by the local station board for a term of 2 years by a majority of the local station board for a term of 2 years. So I think you need to shall be appointed, and then we cut it out so that it reads, each new member shall be appointed by a majority of the local station board for a term of 2 years. That's probably what you meant, right?
Yes, to the extent that, I mean, and one, if I may, on that point,
go ahead. Sorry.
Just quickly, one of the way a previous iteration of the motion was written so that the LSBs would people would be elected by STV, and that's something that people may think might be a good idea. I mean, some people, you know, but a majority vote may mean just the board majority gets to decide. STV means that the board minority would also get people, you know. I'm not that it should be a political football for the board, but something else. It's just another. So yes, you are right in terms of the way that should be written, but another element. You know, we could also do it by STV if people think that makes more sense. So, and just quickly, could you send me that language? Just because I saw what you were saying, but I don't. I have to run to my computer and do the room.
Okay.
Ted.
I would like to get the opinion of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting as to whether or not CABs are necessary. I have been involved in this process of rewriting the bylaws for at least 7 years now, and and I've studied the CPB rules pretty carefully, and I'm very suspect about the actual need for a CAB. I think that the LSBs fulfill that responsibility. We've been duly elected by the membership. We are people who were not placed on the LAB through a self-selecting process where they picked people from one term to the next or whatever. I think we are creating an unnecessary additional body. I have expressed that here in Houston. I've been unsuccessful in convincing people of that point, but I do not believe we need a cab, especially when the LABs, which were not democratically elected, were considered to be the equivalent of a cab. I don't see in any way why a democratically elected body, which we are, has to create this appendage. And the way it has been created here in Houston, and what it has done is, I think people should investigate that to see the value of a CAB above and beyond the LSB.
Chris, was that after Chris?
Well, yeah, I am here. Quickly on the matter of the wording, each new member shall be appointed by the local station board for a term of 2 years, period. I mean, you don't have to say a majority of the local station board. That's the local station board's business.
You want to make that as an amendment?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no other way to be appointed other than by a majority.
No, there is. I mean, Joe's point was you could have an STV election. But if you write it that way, it basically leaves it up to the station boards how they want to elect people.
Well, I think, and this is where my real comment goes, that we are all in a little fantasy world about this. And I'm speaking as someone, I organized a cab at KPFK before I became an LSB member. And the fantasy that we're engaging is that there are people clamoring to do this in the first place. Like we have to select between a group of people who are all competitively seeking the position. We're bloody lucky if there's anybody willing to do it at all. The reason is because they come to these meetings and then it dawns on everyone that there's nothing really to do. Nobody's listening. Nobody pays any attention. You can work all day long writing up written reports, going to get, advisories from community organizations and recommendations, and it's all just spinning wheels for nothing.
Thank you. I agree. This is Ted.
That's why
the point's clear, Chris. Lizette, you're next.
I have not read the rules, the CPB rules, but I wonder if the gentleman who I understand is speaking against demanding that the local LSBs do their best to set up CPBs so that they can truthfully apply for funding is not quite correct. I just wonder if any of them could share the information that they have. Because my understanding is that some of our local station boards might be applying for these funds without having the CPB, the community advisory boards, and that might not be right.
Can we table this, George, until our next meeting, where I'll have the CPB rules that I've read before me?
Yeah, and George, can I just say one thing? Because I, too,
just a second. Ted, a motion to table is in order if you want to make it.
Chair, before that, one,
yes.
I need to hear Chris Condon's actual amendment.
Okay, first, I wanted to say that I am for this amendment, this motion. I don't want my comments to be construed that I'm in opposition to this motion. Quite the opposite. I'm for it. But there's a question of motivating people by giving them something real to do.
I need wording for.
I'm sorry. It's just where in the penultimate paragraph, as you so eloquently referred to it. It says, each new member shall be appointed by the local station board for a term of 2 years, period, and strike out the remainder of the sentence.
Okay.
A point of information before we close down on this, I'm looking at some of the information that was sent to me by Yosh Yamasaka, and it says here, results of noncompliance. CPB may not distribute any of its funds to any community licensed public broadcasting station that does not have an advisory board which meets the requirements of the law. So, Ted, is your question whether the LSBs can constitute a properly functioning CPB, and therefore we don't need a CPB because we need something, it looks like, from what I'm reading here, if we're going to get money from the committee, I'm getting my terms all mixed up here, from the Community Broadcasting Service.
Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Do you understand what I'm asking you? Are you saying that it's not that we don't need CABs, it's that CABs, our LSB constitutes a properly functioning CAB that fulfills the requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
John, this is Chris Condon. May I
Ted, would you answer that question? And then we'll
I said precisely.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Chris?
I was just going to say that I think that that's a legitimate question, but I don't think that it's a question that we can resolve. You simply ask the CPB the question. You ask them, do these LSBs fulfill the requirement, and you get an answer.
That's what I said in the very beginning of my remarks. This is Ted, and I would like to ask our chair to be charged with the responsibility either of doing it or asking the executive director of the foundation to do it. But
Well, might I add John Krieger, our FCC lawyer, would he be
Can I
weigh in for a minute? And this
Grace, hi.
And this is Chris Condon. I'd like to weigh in after Grace because I've actually done it, and I've done it by email, and it was quick and easy.
Okay. We did research this at KPFK over a year ago, and the Community Advisory Board is a purely advisory body and should not be in any way controlled by a governing body or by an administrative body. So
it
should be independent. Because our LSBs are not merely advisory boards and do have governing ways that they do engage in governance, they are not... And my reading, anyway, of the CPB requirements, which are right on the Corporation for Public Broadcasting website, if you go there and look at what their requirements are for a CAB, we don't fit into that category because we're not purely advisory as a local board.
Thank you, Ted. I would like to speak.
Who is that? Anyone else want to speak to this issue who hasn't spoken yet?
This is Chris Condon, only to say that answers the question, I think.
Anyone else want to speak to this?
I do. I'm concerned that we're tabling this motion. That's why I asked the question, because I, too, did some research a few years ago, and, you know, things change rapidly. And my understanding was exactly what Grace just explained, is that the CPB should be independent of the operations of the station.
You mean the CAB, right? You said CPB.
The community advisory boards. And I would not interpret the workings of the LSBs to be independent of the station. And I am concerned that we could be applying for CPB grants when we're not meeting one of the basic criteria of that grant. And I don't agree that we should table this motion.
There is no motion to table on the floor.
Mr. Chair,
I thought that was.
Can I move that we vote on the motion? This is Chris Kahn.
We have to vote on your amendment first.
Well, we have to point out when the time's up.
Yes. Okay.
Can we extend for 5 minutes? And I was asking to speak to what Grace just said.
Is there any objection to extending for 5 minutes?
None.
Hearing none, go ahead, Ted.
Just tip off on timer so he doesn't forget. Thank you, folks.
Pardon me?
Go ahead, Ted.
Just tip off your timer before you start these things so he doesn't forget. I apologize.
Before this, can we just take a vote on the amendment?
Ted has the floor. After that, we can vote on the amendment. Ted, go ahead.
I think we need to get not an interpretation, but straight from the CPB an answer to the question that I raised in the beginning, because I think local station boards are purely advisory. We can only advise the executive director as to who we recommend to be the general manager of the station. We can only advise the national board in terms of what should be done in terms of anything that the foundation is going to do. I think we are purely advisory, and I think we are sufficient, and I think reading the documentation, it can be interpreted a variety of ways, and that's where I think we ought to get the opinion of the people who are on the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. I don't want us to lose any funding. I just don't think we have to create this additional appendage to the LSBs.
This is Joe.
Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to speak against the amendment. I think the overall purpose of this motion is to create a clear structure throughout the network for the CAB, throughout the CAB to be formed. To take out, to say, you know, leave it up to the LSBs may bring us back to square one in some areas. I mean, one of the problems we had in the past is where at KPFA, because it wasn't clear, the chair just went ahead and appointed people who she thought should be in the CAB on her own and refused to take any input from the rest of the LSB members. The CPB requires that you tell the CPB whatever the process is, but you know, tell them what process is used to appoint the CAB. So simply saying, well, the LSBs will figure it out, and not giving any clear language, I think really undermines the intent of this motion. It should be done either by majority or by STV, but there needs to be a clear structure. And it's also important for accountability and for us to be able to know exactly what's going on with the CABs.
Right? Okay, I withdraw the amendment. I mean, I was just clearing up what I thought was a redundancy in language. I'm sorry. I just withdraw the amendment.
Hello? Is this
Grace? Yes.
I'm going to forward to you the link to the CPB requirements. I would argue that the LSBs are not merely advisory in nature. We do have a governance role.
That's right.
There is a governance role to the local station boards, and I think that clearly the Community Advisory Board has a separate and a distinct function. And I don't, you know, George, I'm going to send this to you and whoever else I have listed as being part of this committee that I can figure out. But
you send it to me. I'll forward it to the list.
Okay, very good.
Grace,
I had a point of information from you, actually. Has Krieger ever been asked this question specifically?
I don't know.
Yes,
I
can answer that. He has, in terms of, if you go to the Station Resource Group website, which I think I forwarded to you, there is a memo there he has written talking about the legal consideration. And I can send that to you guys again. But he also works as counsel with various groups, and he has issued a legal opinion on that, which is available. And if you read the regulations, I think it's pretty clear. I mean, read it.
George, Chris Condon, please.
Chris? I'm sorry, Lizette, you were first.
Yes, I was saying by extension to what Chris just said, the LSBs are committees of the governing body of the network.
So I don't see how they're advisory.
Okay, Chris?
Oh, I think we absolutely do need tabs. It's a question of motivating them to do something real, but that's not the purpose of the what we're doing here. That's not the purpose of the motion. I have withdrawn my amendment, so I would like to move that we vote on the main motion. But first, I would like to say that when I was forming the CAB at KPFK and was its pro tem chair, we had a question of whether or not someone who was on an LSB committee as a listener sponsor, as a listener volunteer, not an LSB member, whether that person could also be on the CAB, because there were several people that that applied to. And we did. I did get an answer, because I couldn't get an answer out of management. I just went to the website and asked, and there is a place where you can send in, an inquiry to the CPB, and I did, and within days, I got a very sensible answer back.
Which was
that, no, we couldn't. No, which is that people who were on committees of the LSB, even if they were not LSB members,
okay,
could not be members of the CAB.
Okay.
That clarified that point of view. It clarified that situation, and that was the end of it. So what my point is that you can both vote for this amendment, I mean both vote for this motion that Joe has submitted, and get an answer to your question simultaneously. This is not a choice of one or the other. You can do both.
And we are a minute and 21 seconds over, Mr. Chair.
Okay. You can't actually withdraw an amendment. It's the property of the floor once you put it out there.
Okay.
Is there any support for that amendment?
Is there any, Mr. Chair, I think the forum is there any objection to withdrawing the amendment?
Is there any objection to withdrawing the amendment?
My only objection to the sentence is it says 2 years.
No, you don't need to say it. You don't need to say it, Chris. It's just taking time.
All right.
Is there any? Okay. So that's the amendment is withdrawn. It's not the motion is as presented by Joe. Is there any objection to the motion? Okay, hearing none, that motion is passed. We would, the next on the agenda would have been actually Grace, but we didn't think she was going to be here, so we moved her item down to the bottom. What I'd like to do is to move to postpone consideration of the next two items until after Grace's has a chance to speak to, if she would like, speak to the question of staff list. Is there any objection to that? Okay, hearing none.
How much time, sir?
10 minutes.